Thanks, Steve. Don't forget, Tim Cavanaugh joins us in just a half an hour. But right now, it's time to talk to our friend Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor over at Decider.com. Alexander, Wendy and I have spent about an hour now discussing the life of Burt Reynolds. But really, when you think about it, even though he was a huge movie star for years and years, he had two different times where he was predominantly a TV star, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we were talking a little bit about his legacy over here in the office. It's kind of, this is maybe a little sad, but a little bit funny. But the first thing everybody thought of was Norm Macdonald on Saturday Night Live,
sure.
Which I know is not him. But I was, once that got stuck in my head, when I was looking back at all of these old pictures of him, man, Norm Macdonald completely nailed it in absolutely the best tribute way. But in terms of him being on TV, you know, you had him in Evening Shade, but also lots of other things. A fun thing, actually, that I had no idea about, one of our writers, Brett White, is basically an encyclopedia of old sitcoms.
Yeah.
And he wrote this wonderful thing about him showing, Burt Reynolds showing up on The Golden Girls. He just did a one-time thing, but if you read through it, it's so funny. It's just the Golden Girls reacting to how sexy he is.
Was he as himself?
He was as himself, yeah.
Okay, no character or anything. That's so funny.
And it's great. There's this gif he made that I've been checking back in all day, and it's just Burt Reynolds looking down at them and saying, which one's the slut? And they all raise their hands and say, I am.
And that is funny.
And I don't know. There's something about remembering somebody that way that I think is actually kind of ridiculous and wonderful, and is really a tribute to Reynolds.
One thing, since you mentioned Norm Macdonald playing him, and he did several times on Saturday Night Live, sometimes in Celebrity Jeopardy, sometimes otherwise, is Burt Reynolds played Norm Macdonald's father on a little story arc on My Name is Earl years ago.
Really?
That? Yeah.
That's very interesting.
They call me Earl. Did I say my name is Earl? They call me Earl.
What was that? A TV show?
That was with Jason Lee. Yeah, it was
My Name is Earl.
My Name is Earl,
yeah,
right?
That was the name of it. He was on that?
Not often, like a reoccurring role every once in a while. But, he got Bert to play his own dad on there.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, this morning, I didn't even think of Norm Macdonald. And as Bill mentioned it to me, Alexander, that's all I could think of, even more than Burt Reynolds now.
Yeah, no, I'm very sorry about that. It's nice to know about the guest starring. I was looking back because I would have thought at some point Burt Reynolds would show up on Celebrity Jeopardy with Norm Macdonald. You know, they did that so often, but it never happened, so which is too bad.
You know what I always thought the key was to that impression? He had the look down, he had the voice down, but the key was he had Burt hands in pockets and chewing gum as if he'd rather be anywhere else but there.
Yes, exactly. He's, you know, we talk about this a lot, and certainly there are movie stars these days, but when you think about somebody who is a movie star, that's Burt Reynolds.
First of all, well said. You're true. That's so true. But when Wendy and I were talking about his work in Deliverance, which is one of his best movies and his breakout role, he was a TV actor, and at that point, you didn't transition, really. You were either a TV actor or you were a movie actor, but Burt kind of pulled both off in his lifetime.
He really did. He moved back and forth, and like you mentioned earlier, he had multiple aspects, multiple sections of his career. You know, he was the sort of person that would go away for a little while and then get a Boogie Nights and come back into the ethos. And the sad thing to think about was he was in one of those periods now. He just did a movie called The Last Movie Star that by all rights is supposed to be fantastic. He was going to be in Quentin Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So just right now would have been another resurgence, I think, of Burt Reynolds. So it's always sad to see somebody go, but particularly right now when he was in the middle of one of those periods.
With that Tarantino movie, correct me if I'm wrong, he didn't shoot his scenes yet, right? He had signed on to be in it, but the scenes just weren't shot yet. Yeah. Oh, it's too bad.
I believe he won't be in the movie. It's not one of those things where they'll have to finish it with somebody else.
Christopher Plummer.
I think they'll recast the part.
Christopher Plummer just sits in the bullpen now waiting for something to happen so he can get a shot.
Exactly.
And do we know the cause of death? Has that been released at this point?
No, there was a story I saw pop up that said that he had made a call beforehand complaining, I believe, about some chest pains, but we don't know the specific cause of death at this time.
So rough. So, yeah, we lost a legend, definitely, in Burt Reynolds yesterday at the age of 82. Let's talk about this story. This is a story that we've discussed in the past, but it just took another turn. This is Les Moonves, the guy who ran CBS. What's going on with Les Moonves exactly?
Well, in case you missed the earlier parts, Les Moonves was subject to a Ronan Farrow expose in The New Yorker, where it was revealed multiple women had accused him of sexual harassment and potentially even assault. CBS decided to do an independent investigation of it, which I believe is still pending at the current time. But it came out yesterday that, according to CNBC, that CBS has offered Les Moonves a $100 million severance package. The twist is he doesn't want to take it, specifically because in his contract is a $180 million severance package, and he would get a production deal. So as far as it seems, CBS wants to be done with it. They want to move on, but Les Moonves still says he understands that no means no. He never did any of the things that he's being accused of. And if he is going to leave, he wants his full severance.
If he is telling the truth, I agree with him. If he's not, what will Julie Chen do? I will miss her on Big Brother. Because really, she's all over CBS.
Sure.
I feel sorry for her every time I look at her on TV.
Well, she's definitely completely taken the side of her husband. So yeah. To your point, whatever happens may or may not happen to her as well. My personal two cents, I think he should take it and be done with it at this point. I understand it's in the contract, but you know, what's $80 million between friends? And
unless
honestly,
you're innocent, you know? That's the only thing.
At this point, though, if he is going to leave no matter what, him staying on, him dragging this out, it tarnishes the reputation of CBS. So I do feel like there is something to be said for him moving on and then moving on to the next thing. Though I do understand what you're saying as well.
Will this, is there a chance that this will go to trial, Alex? How does this play out trial-wise?
Well, my law degree is still pending, but I could potentially. I mean, if he really digs down his heels and says absolutely no, because his contract stipulates it, as far as I understand, he can demand that. And frankly, given the position, to take the opposite tack from what I just said, given the position he is in, the CBS board might want to be done with it and just say, okay, fine, here's the $180 million. The thing that I think makes it trickier more than anything is that he has a production deal as part of that. Oh. And if they really do want to be done with him, him having a production deal is the exact opposite of what they want.
Maybe he and Roseanne should hook up.
Oh, good idea, Wendy. What a solid idea that is. To your knowledge, though, has there been any fallout with either advertisers to CBS or with actors or directors or producers who go, yeah, that's a project I was going to work on, but it's CBS, and with all that's going on with him, I don't want any part of it?
Not really. I mean, CBS is still the number one network, and, you know, the shows aren't officially back yet, so certainly we'll see if everything falls off 50% of the fall season. But I don't think so. I don't think it's going to really affect anything in any particular way. There may be something that affects the development cycle, I would say. You know, we would probably see this play out more next spring if there are less pilots in development at CBS, if less big creators want to work with them, if the Les Moonves thing does drag on. But as of right now, heading into the new season, there hasn't been really any fallout.
I am currently writing a book, Alexander, called Goodnight Moonves. Do you think that'll sell or not sell?
I'll pay $180 million for it, but that is as high as
that's your limit. All right.
You know, Alexander, listening to you say that CBS is the top-rated network is shocking to me. Remember,
it has been for a while.
What are the big things that are making it that way?
CBS, well, Big Bang Theory is the number one show on TV. I mean, granted, it's going away at the end of the season, but that's huge. But they've got the NCIS shows. They've got SWAT, which is a big hit. Basically, anything that is a procedural does really, really well. They're one of the, maybe the only network that actually is still working well with broadcast. They have a much older audience, an audience that is devoted to actually watching TV live. which helps them exponentially with advertisers versus the rest of the networks, which are struggling because they do have not a young audience, but a younger audience, which is very fractured by streaming. They're watching not just their shows on a delayed schedule when they ever they end up on Hulu or something like that, but also they're watching Netflix shows, they're watching Amazon shows, they're watching YouTube and Snapchat and everything else. CBS is the only one right now, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens over the course of the season, that is really holding on to that live viewing audience.
That's Alexander Zelbin, managing editor of Decider.com, a great website, Decider.com. We'll take a quick break and then continue this discussion next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin. He's the managing editor of Decider.com, a wonderful website if you like knowing about show business and television. Alexander, last week, Saturday Night Live paid tribute to John McCain. They showed an old episode where he had hosted the show from a decade or so ago. They've done it once or twice in the past. I always like when they do this. Did you get a chance to see it by any chance?
I didn't check it out. I remember watching it when it was originally on, but I didn't get to see the rerun, unfortunately.
You really forgot, or I forgot anyway. I mean, in addition to being a really good guy and a tremendous politician, he was really funny on the show. Sometimes they'll pull in somebody from another walk of life who's not an actor, and it doesn't go very well. But John McCain held up beautifully for 90 minutes. He was very, very funny.
He really was. That is something, to your point, that people really forgot about him, particularly in later years because things have been so serious politically over the past couple of years.
Yeah.
But he was a very funny guy. He was a very personable guy. It's funny, he didn't really bring that to his presidential runs necessarily, and that's something that actually probably would have made him more appealing to the voting public, but at least we got to see it on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, so true. This is exciting. All I've seen is little 30-second snippets, so I have no idea how it's going to end up. But Jim Carrey is coming back to television in a show on Showtime. What do you know about this show?
So this is premiering Sunday night at 10 p.m. on Showtime. But actually, if you go to Showtime's YouTube page, you can watch the first slightly edited episode right now. The idea is that Jim Carrey plays a character called Mr. Pickles. He's sort of a Mr. Rogers-type character. And as the show picks up, it's been a year since his son passed away in a tragic car crash. So it's still funny, but it's very serious at the same time. It deals with what would happen if a character like this had to deal with something very real in their own real life, how it would affect him. And the cast is great. It includes Catherine Kinnear, Judy Greer, Frank Langella is in it. And it's directed at least the first episode by Michelle Gondry, who did Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. I've watched it and I liked it. There's a lot of promise there. It's exactly as quirky as you would think. It doesn't necessarily get maudlin every time that it steers towards the more seriousness of the death. It figures out ways of steering back. So I think it's going to be a really interesting show to watch as it plays out over the course of the season.
It's more comedy or more drama?
That's an interesting question. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about that in TV journalist circles, not just with this show, but other shows, how things that you would normally describe as a comedy don't have a lot of laughs to them nowadays.
Yeah.
And this falls very much in that category. I will say there are jokes in the show. There are straight up funny bits that play throughout. There's a ridiculous payoff involving one of the costume characters on the show within the show towards the end of the episode that is definitely not for kids. But on a whole, it is maybe, let's say, 60% dramatic, 40% comedic.
All right. And that premieres on Showtime this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I binge watched season two of Ozark. Absolutely love that show. And we are definitely having a season three, correct?
Yes, there should be a season three of Ozark. I'd also strongly recommend, not to make more plugs for my own website, but one of our writers here, Kayla Cobb, is a huge fan of Ozark and has been doing a ton of great stuff delving into it. She has a really cool post up about the symbols that they put at the top of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Breaking down what they mean and how they play out through each episode. Both
they change
for season one and
every
season two.
Episode, which I just realized. Did they always? Because I just noticed it, like, the last couple episodes of season two.
Yeah, it's every episode, they're different. So definitely there's a gallery on the site you can check out, and it'll break down exactly what each symbol means and why it's important for the show, which is pretty neat, I think.
Decider.com. I'm on it right now. Kayla Cobb, Ozark Season 3, Everything We Know So Far. It's a super great show, Bill. I've been trying to talk you into it. It's dark. It's twisted. It's
Jason Bateman, who's always good.
He's nice to look at, I'll tell you that much.
All right. I'm in. All I know is the title of this show, Alex. I don't know anything beyond it, but I love the title. Sierra Burgess is a Loser. It's on Fox. What can you tell us?
This is actually a Netflix movie that dropped today. It stars Shannon Purser, who you probably know as Barb from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
She didn't get a whole lot to do there, though. She'd get an Emmy nomination. Turns out what we were waiting for was this movie. I thought it is wonderful and charming. It's a teen riff on Cyrano de Bergerac, with her playing the Cyrano role. She feels out of place in high school society. She finds a beautiful girl and ends up catfishing this guy played today, Noah Centineo, who, if you watched To All the Boys I Loved Before, which was a huge hit on Netflix just a couple of weeks ago, he plays the romantic interest in this one again. It's charming. It's funny. If you're a fan of Mean Girls or 10 Things I Hate About You in particular, you might really like this. And there's a nice, super weird role from Chrissy Metz from This Is Us, plays the mother of one of the characters. So it's great. If you got 2 hours, I highly recommend checking it out on Netflix this weekend.
Sierra Burgess is a Loser. I just realized I keep seeing ads for it on Fox, but it runs on Netflix. Okay.
The other thing that's interesting about it is it's written by a lady named Lindsay Beer, and this is technically her first movie, but over the next couple of years, she is writing every enormous tentpole movie in Hollywood, Transformer-style movies, Lord of the Rings-style movies, those sort of things. So you're going to be hearing her name a lot. So if you want to be cool and get in on the ground floor, check out Sierra Burgess and the Loser.
Excellent. Alex, always fun to talk to you. We really appreciate your expertise, and have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much.
That's Alexander Zelbin.
Thank you.
He's the managing editor of Decider.com. That's the website, Decider.com. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then Tim Cavanaugh joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.